It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. In the middle of last month, following inquiries from the Tribune Review, UPMC revealed it closed Presbyterian Hospital's cardiothoracic unit September 8th because of a sickened lung transplant patient and the discovery of mold behind a wall and in and around toilets. The next week, UPMC revealed in interviews and on a public blog that two patients with fungal infections had died in the ICU. A third patient who had a liver transplant died September 17th in Montefiore Hospital, which eventually led to the suspension of UPMC's transplant program. UPMC made it clear that the deaths of these patients could not be directly attributed to the fungal infections. But now, a Pittsburgh attorney for one of the patients in UPMC's mold crisis is disputing those claims and says an autopsy proves otherwise. I'm joined now in studio by Tribune Review reporter Ben Schmidt, who broke the original story. Ben Schmidt, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thanks for having me, Paul.
If you would like to join the conversation, if you have a comment or question about this issue, you can join us at 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. Email is esspgh@wesa.fm and on Twitter at esspgh. Again, the number 412-246-2002. Ben Schmidt, how did you find out about this?
Well, Paul, it was just an old-fashioned news tip, really. We got a call at the paper. I got a call on September 14th and with some information about this, and I started making inquiries to UPMC. And initially, we were told that there was a mold issue and that the cardiothoracic unit ICU had been closed. But initially, we were not told about deaths. And I persisted saying that I had some information that there were deaths, and a few days later, that was confirmed.
So you just stayed with the story and pursued this and relied on your own independent sources. And these are anonymous, or this is an anonymous source or sources?
It really was an anonymous tip. And I think for listeners, you know, that we should tell you that that's sometimes how we get stories. And on any related subject, you know, you can always call the newspaper or a news organization. And that's sometimes how information is ferreted out.
One of the big questions that arises out of this is, what would have happened if you hadn't received this anonymous tip?
You know, I can't answer that. I don't know. I would like to think that this would eventually become public. I don't know if it would have become public that week. The way that this was explained to us, and UPMC has also put this in their blog, was that they initially didn't confirm the deaths because they were trying to contact the families of those involved. And once they made those contacts, they did go public that there had been some deaths there.
UPMC said none of the deaths can be directly attributed to fungal infections. But now the latest development in this story is that a lawyer for one of the victims' families, James DeTillo of DeTillo and Associates, is disputing the claim. Who is this lawyer representing and what is he claiming?
Okay, this lawyer is representing one of the patients who died. She's a transplant patient. Her name is Tracy Fisher, and she had a heart transplant, and she subsequently got a fungal infection and passed away. What his claim is he produced an autopsy that shows one of the causes of death was a fungal infection that started off on her skin and then invaded her system, her body. And he's claiming that how can you say that that's not one of the causes of death? Now, UPMC has countered that, well, there are other causes, and this was a very sick patient, and so you can't directly say that fungus, a fungal infection, can be attributed to this death.
So he has a copy of the autopsy, and this autopsy has been made public, correct?
He's given it out, and I think television has produced some of it on their website and online, so people have seen it, yes, or at least portions of it.
So he's basing this on the autopsy, and the autopsy says what exactly?
Well, I mean, the autopsy does talk about several causes of death, but the first cause, I don't want to say initial, one of the causes, and I think it's the first one listed, says a fungal infection.
So it's saying that could be a cause in this, and therefore the lawyer is saying that if that is listed as one of the causes in the autopsy, that UPMC therefore cannot say that the deaths of these patients can be that they cannot be directly attributed to a fungal infection.
That's his claim, yes. Okay. And, I mean, who knows where that will go? Will that end up in court, a settlement? Will it just go away. I'm not sure. So.
Is it more difficult to prove because you have a situation where, you know, in the case of a transplant, you've got somebody who is already in ill health and therefore in a precarious situation? Does that just make it difficult in general to make a claim like this particular lawyer is making?
Yeah, I mean, I think you can make that argument. I think you had a guest on last week who explained that in detail, who was a doctor, that when you are a transplant patient, you take immunosuppressant drugs, and so your immune system is compromised. And that's why some of these patients get afflicted with fungus or other invasive species.
And let's talk about that infectious disease expert. He is an individual named Dr. Amesh Adalja. He was on this program last week. You've talked to him. He was a source for some of your information in this, in stories that you did.
And on the record source, he's not the source behind the story.
Right. No. And yeah, I think I think that should be made clear. And you just did make that he was you used him as we did as an expert on infectious disease. He said he thought UPMC did all that it could to prevent something like this from happening. Based on what you've learned, what do you think?
Well, you know, just like yourself, I'm a journalist, so I'm educating myself on the fly about this.
Sure.
I mean, I've learned more about mold in the last 2 weeks than I ever expected to. I do think, the argument they make, and I won't even say it's an argument, but the facts that they state about transplant patients having compromised immune systems is valid. And it's something that we need to always put in our stories and try to, you know, portray a balanced picture of what's happening here.
One of the things that has come out in all of this reporting is that, and it may or may not be true, but we've heard accounts of less than perfectly sterile, clean conditions in hospital rooms at the UPMC hospitals. Now, that may or may not be true. Some details have come out, and people are upset with what they're hearing. What is fact and what is fiction here?
Well, I do think that even when we run a story, you see comments to that effect at the end of the story. So it's UPMC has maintained that they've done all they could do to keep a clean environment. They've called in the CDC and the state to help them kind of review their protocols about how they keep their rooms clean. So that's really what we're relying on right now. But I have definitely heard complaints like that, and I've also taken calls to that effect.
But at this point, is it safe to say that you've received no concrete confirmation that would contradict what UPMC is saying, which is that they've done everything that they can do? Certainly this expert on infectious disease, Dr. Adalja, has corroborated that. He said, as far as he's concerned, UPMC has done all it can. Should the public be satisfied with that explanation?
That's hard for me to answer. I mean, one thing UPMC has stated is that if you are healthy and you're in their facilities, you don't have a great chance or any chance of contracting a fungal infection. I don't know if that really answers your question or not, but that's kind of one of the points that they've made to us, and we've tried to keep that out in the newspaper as well.
And the transplants have resumed at the UPMC
hospital. That's correct, and we glossed over that. The transplants resumed on Sunday after 6 days, and that, of course, included the blessing or signing off, if you will, of the CDC and the state.
It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. We're talking with Ben Schmidt, reporter for the Tribune Review newspaper here in Pittsburgh. He broke the story of the infections at the fungal infections at UPMC that sickened transplant patients, and there was the discovery of mold behind a wall and in and around toilets. And later the next week, UPMC revealed in interviews and on a public blog that two patients with fungal infections had died in the ICU. A third patient who had a liver transplant died September 17th in Montefiore Hospital. There is a fourth patient, Ben, who survived, a 70-year-old individual named Che Duval. What is this person's present condition?
The last official condition we got from the hospital is guarded. We've also been speaking, or I have been speaking with his attorneys. His wife has also retained two attorneys, and they're looking into whether or not to file a lawsuit. And apparently he's hanging on. He's on antifungal medications, and he's battling this. But it sounds like it's a long road. He actually got the mold infections on his new set of lungs, and he had to have portions of the new set of lungs taken out because of the fungal infections.
Is it part of a natural progression here that the families would be seeking out legal representation or asking their legal representatives to look into this?
I can't say I'm surprised by that. That doesn't surprise me at all. And I think, the lawyers are going to decide whether or not they have a case and whether or not they're going to file a lawsuit. Go ahead.
412-246-2002. Let's go to Robert from the South Hills who has a comment. Robert, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Good morning, gentlemen. Very provocative conversation. I wish you would comment on the fact that molds, funguses are ubiquitous, that is, everywhere in our environment, and they can exist in various forms. For instance, we all have yeast, a form I think they call candida, but it can exist in many forms. They call that pleomorphism. Now, when it converts from a yeast to a fungus, then it becomes infectious. So when you take an antibiotic, for instance, you can disrupt the balance of these organisms in your body, and then what they call get a rebound infection, like a candidiasis infection in your body, but there's no way of eliminating yeast. And as far as I know, there's no way of eliminating these funguses. And there's so many of them. Another one in our environment is Aspergillus, I believe, which is another one that's ubiquitous. What's your comment on that?
It's a really good point. Stay on the line, Robert. We'll let Ben Schmidt respond.
Absolutely. Excellent point. And that is another point of information that I've learned in the reporting is that this mold is ubiquitous. And the two forms of mold that you've mentioned do infect people. The forms that infected the cases we're speaking about are actually different kinds of mold. But to your point, you're right. The mold is ubiquitous. And it could be on this desk where I'm sitting right now. And because my immune system is intact, it's not affecting me. But if you do have a compromised immune system, it can. And that's what UPMC has said has occurred here.
And certainly our infectious disease expert who was on last week, Dr. Adalja, indicated this as well, that mold is ubiquitous. It's hard to, if not impossible, to completely eliminate from the environment. Robert, we appreciate your call. We've lost Robert at this point, but thanks for joining us. And 412-246-2002 is the number to call if you would like to take part in our conversation with Ben Schmidt, reporter for the Tribune Review in Pittsburgh. Broke the story on the mold situation at UPMC hospitals. Meanwhile, Ben, Allegheny General Hospital said earlier this week that two heart transplant patients there contracted mold infections in 2014. One patient died, one survived. How does this situation compare with what happened at UPMC?
Well, and that's a great question. And we did make some inquiries after we were, writing about UPMC every day. We thought we should, look into the other hospital system. And what they say, their spokesman, Dan Laurent, has told us and other media outlets that these cases were unrelated to each other and that they were not hospital acquired. So according to the health system, these patients came in with some sort of mold, and they were also different forms of mold than the ones we're talking about at UPMC. Again, that's what we're being told.
Okay, yeah. So this did not this was not from a hospital-borne bacteria or in mold or infectious substance of some kind.
According to Allegheny Health Network, yes.
Okay, because that might make people. And I'm curious about the kind of feedback you've gotten to these stories, because obviously people are concerned. And what kind of questions are you hearing from your readers?
Well, there's been questions about safety, and I've explained, what has been explained to me. There's been questions about, other people who've died in the hospital in different ways, and I think mainly I can't answer all those questions, but I know that other attorneys have been engaged by other people, and we'll see what comes out in the future.
Are there things that people are talking about or are concerned about fears that can be put to rest at this point, or is everything subject to review and question?
Well, we're told that, again, I'll repeat it again, that if you're healthy and you enter one of these facilities, you shouldn't worry about one of these infections. There will be, I should mention, there will be a final CDC report at some point about all their findings. I think it'll probably be, you know, 4 to 6 weeks out from now, but I'm just guesstimating on that.
What were some of the things in the report that preliminarily have come out?
As far the report from
the CDC, because they, I mean, this was a nearly week-long investigation that during which the transplant programs were shut down. What did they find that told them that we're okay to continue with the transplants?
Okay, that's a two-part answer, and I think I know how to answer it. The CDC has not yet issued any report, but what?
So there are no preliminary findings yet that are been made public?
Not by the CDC, but UPMC has said, and I should have stated this earlier, they have not found a source of the mold. And they did publicly say that, and we reported that this week. But that's sometimes the case. Because it is ubiquitous, they may not find a direct source. And also, we mentioned the mold in the wall and the mold in the toilets. It appears that those were different forms of mold than the mold that infected the patients.
So what tells the hospital then? Okay, it's okay to continue to resume the transplant program.
Well, I believe, and I'm really going to hypothesize here, I believe they grew cultures. And they didn't really find anything that, outwardly concerned them. And they felt like they had it under control and they didn't see a source. I'm sure they checked in numerous places for sources. They changed air filters. They changed the way they were going to bring the linens in case that the mold came from the linens. And there's going to be some other protocols that we'll be made aware of.
So what happens from here? What are the next steps that you said that the CDC will issue a report? When will we hear that?
I believe I'm going to take a guess 4 to 6 weeks from now. And also, I think there's still two other families that we haven't heard from. And also, the attorneys are going to continue to do their investigations. And I think not only the Tribune Review, I'm sure all media outlets will stay in touch with the attorneys to see what they find.
Well, it's been certainly a fascinating period and unfortunately a frightening one for people who've been following this story, for people who have loved ones in the hospital, particularly those who've undergone transplants and those who are, who may have to enter the hospital sometime in the not too distant future. It certainly is something that concerns everybody in the city. But it sounds like, at least for the time being, that the situation has been brought under control and that we can maybe take a cautious sigh of relief here.
We'll have to see what happens in the future, but yes, the transplant program has restarted, so that's good news for people.
All right. Well, Ben Schmidt, who brought this story to our attention and broke the news about what was happening at the UPMC hospitals, joining us here in our studios. Ben, we appreciate your reporting on this. We appreciate your coming in to talk about it and following up, and we wish you well in the future.
Thanks again, Paul.
Coming up, we'll talk with reporter Jeffrey Benzing of our content partner Public Source about his investigation into misconduct by the Pennsylvania State Police. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.